Why do you suppose that the leadership at Columbia and these other schools are capitulating so dramatically in advance to people like Elise Stefanik, who are being performative? She wants to demonstrate that how much she loves Trump and the right, and are capitulating to certain donors who don't like the general liberal vibe at places like Columbia, and they want to shift it to the right by bullying students. Why are they capitulating to that?
It's a plot to undermine universities, to humiliate university presidents and the elite. I think there's a lot of there's a lot at stake. There's funding at stake.
Sure.
If these universities lose federal funding, that would be a complete disaster. I think there's a lot of intimidation and bullying by Congress, by the Congressional Committee.
Yeah.
But we have other representatives as well. And I'm afraid that, our mayor called these protests anti-Semitic. President Biden called these protests anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
So they're all resting on the same kind of misunderstanding of what anti-Semitism is. And I think they want to protect Jews. But, I mean, not everybody does. I don't think that Congressional Committee and Stefanik are all about,
at all,
protecting Jewish students. They want to score points. They want to score MAGA points.
But we will know because of that in advance of an imminent sweep. We are entering a period of high alert for the next 3 days. And that is why I urge all of you to talk to your friends as well and let them know that we may need people to turn up quickly, en masse, in front of the encampment to defend the encampment. Yeah. Will you be ready to rally for your comrades? Yeah. We are so close to divestment! Translate. I mean, you have this metastasizing movement. Many of the people marching are Jewish themselves, young people who are Jewish. Even their organizations are being told they're anti-Semitic.
Well, they've been suspended at Columbia. A Jewish Voice for Peace is a student organization of Jews. Many, many Jewish students are in the encampment at Columbia. Last night, I was very honored to be invited as a faculty member to a Seder that was held within the pro-Palestinian encampment. It was just a beautiful ceremony of Jewish students with lots of other students included. Yeah. We chanted in Hebrew and Yiddish. Nobody was attacking us. We all felt safe.
This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies.
because we're going medieval on these people. Here's not got a free shot. All these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
It's Wednesday, 24 April, year of our Lord, 2024. What you see on MSNBC every night, the information warfare, they spend their time on two things. The progressive takeover of our country at the bottom of lower Manhattan in the courtroom where, and we're going to have some legal experts. I think we're going to get Dershowitz on later, Mike Davis on later. Hopefully I can get Jeff Clark on later. I'm not sure we even understand what the crime is now after their lead witness goes for a couple of days and come back for a couple more. But in NYU, near Washington Square Park and then up at Columbia, you see the merger of what, you know, Frank Gaffney, the Committee on the Present Danger, Trevor Loudon, and others that have been on this anti-Sharia supremacist beat for over a decade. And we've warned people about, you're seeing it up there right now. This is what the progressive worldview has brought to the United States. And they're saying, oh, we got to call out National Guard to protect you. No, you need to send the National Guard to the border. That's part of the problem in this country. That is what's driving things like Colombia. You have an invasion in this country. You have, 15 million illegal alien invaders. Even the Biden regime admits they got 9 or 10 million. Johnson's saying we got 15, at least, on Biden's watch. That's what's driving this. You're seeing an outright revolution. And this is not, it is metastasizing. Listen to Joanne Reed. They got the inside baseball because they're talking to those people all the time and they're instigating it and goading it on. Right there, you got Jewish students doing Seder on the commons. Hey, if that's what you want to do, then you're part of the problem. The problem is on that commons, the problem's in the faculty, the problem's in the administration. It's all got to be broomed. And Mike Johnson's going up there today. Mike Johnson ought to be at the border, not at Columbia. He ought to be at the border. He shouldn't go on a day off for the court. He should go tomorrow to court and then go to the border. He should sit right in back of Trump. Because even President Trump now supports what we're doing. He just came out with a True Social post a little while ago saying the Republicans in the House need to take action on the criminal conspiracy of Matthew Colangelo, Merrick Garland, Jack Smith, the DOJ from Miami. To Georgia, to Washington D.C., to the Attorney General in New York, and the Manhattan District Attorney, all of it is a criminal conspiracy against President Trump, and it couldn't be more open and in your face. And thank God, Axios's lead story today, the lead story today is how Trump allies are now pounding DOJ and Matthew Colangelo, and we're going to get. With a bayonet to the back, we're going to get Jordan. And Jordan today has got a tweet up. Oh, the Democrats do this. Stop with the feckless tweets and take action. I don't want to hear any more tweets or any more hits on Hannity or anything like that. I want you to take action. Take action on the criminal conspiracy. Send them right now. Send them letters to preserve their documents. Let's get rolling on this. The House Republicans need to have the back of Donald J. Trump. You're not going to take donor money and try to hold the House and add a couple of seats in the Senate and let Trump get defeated. That's the Paul Singer plan. Look at the votes for Nikki Haley last night in Pennsylvania. They got it all worked out. They're very happy Trump sitting in that courtroom every day. They're very happy. You see any House Republicans out here supporting him? Is Mike Johnson, he's going to go to Columbia. Is he going to the court? He's going to go down to the court, have Trump's back. Stand up in front of the microphone, walk out to the stick, say, hey, we're initiating a criminal conspiracy investigation against Merrick Garland, the Biden White House, all of it. Going to check every email, every meeting, every text. Are they doing that? No, I don't think so. This guy's as phony as a $3 bill. Let's go to, we have the great John Katzmatidis, the owner of WABC, the most powerful talk radio station in the nation, also has his own show, is a man of many strong, not just opinions, but convictions. He joins us today. John, your beloved New York City. Let's start at Columbia, NYU. Is it your belief that this is out of control in the most anti-American? This is not about Israel or the Jews. This is the most anti-American movement in the history of this country, and it's metastasizing every day under the cover of the Biden regime. John Catsimatidis.
It's out of control, Steve. And the question nobody's answering, that if they get arrested by the police, that nobody's telling us how many of them are actually students and how many of them are paid agitators. Because I think that's a very important thing that everybody should know. Because somebody is paying agitators to stir up the pot. You know how young college kids are. If there's somebody there to agitate, a lot of kids don't have a direction, don't have a mind of their own sometime, and they just go along for the ride. So the students are one thing. The paid agitators are a different thing. And what our country
Full stop. Why is that? These are the most privileged kids in the country at Columbia. First off, if your theory is correct, and let me, for purposes of discussion, say correct, the faculty was up there to a person agitating the other day. Should the police go in and arrest the faculty? Should we purge the faculty, put them under arrest, and put them in jail?
Well, there's freedom of speech in this country, but the president of Columbia, who's a new president.
Is there freedom of speech when they're sitting there chanting, they're agitating these kids to say death to America, death to America? They're actual enemies. When you're sitting there saying death to America, attack America, have the Persians attack the Jews in Israel, have attack America, when they're saying death to America, is that freedom of speech?
Let me tell you something. Let's separate the people that are A, migrants, B, non-citizens, and C, normal kids that are going along for the ride. Let's separate them. I think it's important to separate it. The ones that are non-citizens and migrants should be deported right away. I mean, I remember when I came to this country, I was 6 months old. At 6 years old, I went down and I took my citizenship. I swore allegiance to the United States of America. What are we doing taking migrants in that are not swearing allegiance to America? They should be deported tomorrow morning. And that's why I'm saying that they are paid agitators. They have a mission in life, is to destroy our country.
Columbia today basically capitulated. There's no classes for the rest of the year. What should
There's
we do with the Columbia administration? Should they, I got that, but it's symbolic. It's symbolic. Should they have capitulated to the rioters?
Now, the new president that came in and replaced the old president is only there, I don't know, maybe a year. I don't think she's qualified. She doesn't have the ability for leadership, and she should have taken better control of the situation. And people that are crazy, and there are a lot of crazies in this world, me and you know that, and that they should be expelled or fired or whatever the situation is. I mean, you need leadership in this country, and right now we don't have enough leadership.
John, hang on. By the way, John, would you run, given the sorry state of the country, you only got 30 seconds, I'm holding you through the break, would you run for mayor to take out Eric Adams?
You know, a lot of people have said that to me. This city could be straightened out in 60 days.
Okay, hang on. Hold it right there. I'm going to come back and we'll get to John Catsimatidis, 60 days to straighten out the greatest city in the world, New York City. Because right now you have a revolution that's fomenting there, and everybody's kind of looking the other way. Everybody's kind of pointing other fingers. We need action, action, action. Short commercial break. John Catsimatidis. We're packed today on the trial on the invasion, on the fecklessness of Speaker Johnson, all of it. Hey, folks, if you watch War Room, you know we talk every day about the geopolitical and other forces driving the price of gold. There are actually a couple of reasons this is happening. Let me walk through them. The cost of goods continues to rise despite interest rate controls by the Fed. Since January 2021, cost of living is up 18%. The national debt continues to skyrocket, now significantly north of $34 trillion, causing many to worry when the house of cards will come crashing down, and a presidential election year that will have massive implications on the future of this country. All this adds up to instability and uncertainty. And that is why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Have you diversified your savings yet? Secure a portion of them with gold from Birch Gold Group. Secure a portion of your savings now with gold and do it from Birch Gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and get your free information kit. You'll learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and it doesn't cost you a penny out of your pocket. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and tens of thousands of happy customers, you can count on Birch Gold also. Just text Bannon to 989898 and claim your free info kit to protect your savings in a time of turbulence, instability, and uncertainty. Do it today. Take action, action, action. Birch Gold Group. Text Bannon at 989898.
Done. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, make sure you download a Bill Blaster. We need you calling the local offices today of your representatives. A lot of pressure is going to be put on, but I'll get into more of that later in the show. Also, birchgold.com. We've got the fifth installment. It's all free. The end of the dollar empire. This deals with what fiat currency is, fiat money, the central bank digital currency, the de-dollarization movement throughout the world, why the BRICS nations central banks continue to set records for the last two or three years in the purchase of gold. We go into all that. It's totally free, as all of our content is. I want to thank Birch for working on this with us. Birchgold.com/Bannon. Go get the end of the dollar empire today, the fifth installment, teaching you guys macroeconomics and capital markets. John Catsimatidis is with us. John, 60 days, Mayor Catsimatidis, 60 days that you what you would do to clean up New York, sir?
Well, let's put it this way. Right now, you get the president of the United States doesn't give a damn what the Supreme Court says. He does whatever he wants to do, and he said so. And everybody else in the Democratic Party has said so. So the Supreme Court, well, they don't have an army. They don't have a navy. They don't have the FBI on their side. The FBI doesn't report to them. So the rule of law is gone. So if a mayor gets in there, and the mayor right now is saying, oh, I can't do this, and I can't do this, and I'm not allowed to do this. So what is going to happen? Two choices. They sue him. Well, 3 years from now, after the city is safe, let him be sued. Excuse me. So you do what you have to do to make the city safe. Number one priority, do what you have to do to make the city safe. And the city council.
Okay, hang on. Hang on. I got that. Okay, you're going to make the city safe. Or would you send the police? Would you wait for the National Guard? Or would you send in the police to clear out the commons up there at Columbia and arrest anybody that didn't move? And would you do the same thing down at NYU and Washington Square Park? Would you send the police in as mayor to clean them up, to clean them up and arrest those guys and deport the ones here on foreign visas that are students, deport the illegal alien invaders that are here? Would you do that?
Yes, I would. Let's go back to history.
Go ahead.
Look what Mayor Bloomberg did.
Go ahead.
There was a problem down in Washington Square Park. He let it slide for 5 days, 6 days. I forgot how many days. But then he reached the FU level. And what did he do? He went out, cleared it up, and it never happened again. So when you have weak leadership, that's what happens.
What would you do to the faculty and administration, the progressives up there that have been egging these students on? Because the faculty is a huge problem here, and so is the administration.
The board of directors, this is a new president. She's there for a year. And I hate to tell you who I think pushed her to get elected president. I don't know the facts, but do your Steve Bannon, you do your homework. Who has influence at Columbia and pushed her to become president?
I don't know. Maybe a guy that says he graduated from there, but we can't figure that out. Barack Obama, just throwing it out there. Maybe. Oh, are we not sure? I gotta actually. Wayne Allen Root convinces me that he may not have been a graduate, but I'll defer to Wayne Allen Root. Let's go to, as mayor of New York, would you shut down the DA? Talk about the trial in Lower Manhattan. It's your city. You're a businessman. You're one of the most successful businessmen in the city. You own the most powerful talk radio station in the country. You own all these grocery stores. You're in every type of different investment. It's killing New York as the center of global capital finance. What would you do as mayor with this sham trial down in Lower Manhattan, sir?
Well, you know, that's a harder thing to do. I said, where is the Bar Association? This is a little bit of a sham. Where is the Attorney General's office? We know what side they're on. They sent their number three guy down there to help with the trial.
Hang on. I got John Katzimatidis. You came as a baby from Greece. You had nothing. You built up one of the biggest empires in this country. You're one of the most respected guys on the conservative side. You have the most powerful radio station. What are you telling me? It's a harder one. Your whole life is doing hard things. So let's go back as Mayor Katzimatidis, because you're going to win in a landslide. If you come up with this part, you're winning a landslide. As Mayor Katzimatidis and not Adams, what would you do with Eric Adams and the DOJ-infested Manhattan District Attorney's Office having a sham trial? The Bar Association's all commies. They're the ones that are trying to take Rudy's license away. The Attorney General is the biggest commie of all, Soros-backed. Would you clean out the Soros-backed DAs in the Manhattan office as mayor?
That's the duty of the governor of the state, and I would push the governor as far as one could go to do something about it, because you need law and order in our city and our state.
Cat, you got to run for mayor. You could be the only guy that could save New York City. Do you agree with me that New York City is on the brink of imploding?
When we talk about it, we played the song Exodus.
Wow. So what would you do as mayor to stop that, to stop the exodus?
People have to feel safe. They have to feel safe in the subways, no matter what they say to you. You have to feel safe in the buses. We used to walk around New York City at midnight to go to restaurants, to Gristini's, to Duane Reade, and everybody felt safe. Now everybody, they have locked us up in our own jails. And what the police commissioner is telling me is that there's 3,300 repeat violent criminals that are guilty of this. Repeat violent criminals. So I said to the governor, I said to the mayor, I said, who are we serving? The 20 million people in New York State, the 8.5 million people in New York City, or the 3,300 repeat violent criminals that are making the other 8.5 million, 20 million miserable?
John Katzimatidis, you're a man that always looks downrange. Part of the problem at Columbia and NYU is the cult of climate change. That's one of the things that's turned these kids into kind of like neo-pagans, right? It's one of the reasons they're so easy to move around and to get them to do things. They're all part of the cult of climate change. You actually think you may have a solution. And as one of the smartest investors in the country, tell me what you're doing. You're sitting there saying, hey, if you want to solve this issue, you've got to go to nuclear power. You've got to look at nuclear power. Talk to me about what you're doing. Is nuclear power actually a solution, and what are you doing about it?
Steve, solar cells, wind farms, it's a joke. Hey, if people want to feel good about it, well, it's gonna do maybe 2%, 3%, 4% of the country's needs. It's never gonna do what it's supposed to do. It doesn't work. If people that are tiptoeing through the tulips, believe that, I'll sell them the Brooklyn Bridge at a good price. The only solution over the next 7 to 50 years is what they call SMRs. They're small nuclear reactors, or call them small modular reactors. Steve, you were in the Navy. You know nuclear subs. You know nuclear aircraft carriers. The nuclear subs have been running on the nuclear reactors for 60 years, and safely for 60 years. And guess what? There's companies out there, we want to take the nuclear reactors in the Navy submarines and convert them to land for land use. And they're small. Look, how big can be a nuclear reactor in a submarine? It's a clean energy. It'll last for forever, 67 years on the average. It's the only solution to replace oil over the next 7 to 50 years. It's not going to happen tomorrow morning. The first one could be installed as early as 2031, 2032, but it's a project for the next generation over the next, like I said, 7 to 50 years. The oil companies are not going to be bothered with it because eventually they'll go into it too.
Admiral Hyman Rickover, one of the greatest men of the 20th century, the founder of America's nuclear navy that essentially saved us from the evil empire, never had an accident with those naval officers and crew, the enlisted men, the chief petty officers. Unbelievable. You're absolutely 100% correct. This is one of the major solutions. Stop with the, as John Catsimatidis said, tiptoe through the tulips. Get serious. Nuclear power. Dude, it was genius. Mayor Catsimatidis, how do we get to your show? How do we get to your content? How do we get to WABC?
Well, I'm on WABCradio.com. We're in 173 countries and 50 states. I'm on every day between 5 and 6, the Cats and Cosby show. We actually, last month, according to Nielsen, we hit 149 countries. I see you're showing my book. And most grandfathers and grandmothers are buying my book. You know why? It gives optimism to young children, young business kids, that, yes, you can make it in America.
Yeah. As Catsimatidis came here with nothing is one of the most successful stories in our country. We just have to have Mayor Catsimatidis agree with me. We got to lock up the faculty up at Columbia. That's a start. John Catsimatidis, honor to have you on here. Great work over at WABC. Rita Cosby, one of my favorites. That's a show 5 to 6. Rita Cosby, John Catsimatidis. Thank you very much for coming on, sir.
Thank you, Steve.
Short break. Thank you, sir. We're going to start breaking down this phony case against President Trump, and why is Jim Jordan not moving forward with a criminal conspiracy? Next in the War Room. I want to warn you of a huge change that could be coming to our money and our bank accounts. First, think back to 9/11, shortly after the government pushed through the Patriot Act. This gave the government power to spy on innocent Americans by monitoring our phone and email and tracking our movement across the internet. Now, Jim Rickards, editor of the independent financial newsletter Strategic Intelligence and New York Times bestselling author, is warning about a coming event that could elevate this governmental surveillance to a terrifying new level. In fact, some of the guests I've had on the War Room believe that the government will soon expand their powers to track our every move. If we say the wrong things on social media, donate to the wrong causes, buy firearms, or even vote MAGA, the government may be able to shut us out of our bank accounts. I can't say for sure if this will happen, but it's an interesting and dire warning. Fortunately, Jim Rickards, an American patriot and friend of mine, has made it his mission to educate us on what he believes is coming and how to protect yourself from the possibility of programmable money. Watch Jim's warning video now before it's censored like I've been in the past. Go to rickardswarroom.com. That's rickardswarroom.com now to see the video.
The caucus, and everybody knows that. And you've got some members on the Rules Committee. Olivia Beavers and I were talking about this earlier today. You've got Representative Norman, who's always a thorn in your side. Tom Matthews, my least favorite congressman, along with a couple more. Are you going to make some changes on Rules Committee? I like Chip Roy. I'm glad he's on there. But are you going to make some changes on the Rules Committee to make your life easier?
Well, look, we've got a delicate balance right now. Hugh, I've got the smallest majority in U.S. history, famously. Everyone knows that now. I have a one-vote margin. So when you have such a slim margin, you know, there are actions and then there are reactions and reverberations from the actions. It's a very delicate balance. If I start kicking people off committees right now, it's likely that I cause more problems than I solve. And so what I'm trying to do every day is manage this team. You know, people ask me all the time, Hugh, I was at a big event in Dallas last night, and they said, why do the Democrats seem to stick together more than the Republicans? I said, it's actually pretty easy. The explanation is this. The Democrats think and act like a union. They're collectivists. You know, they move in a herd. Many of them are not deeply principled or philosophical folks anyway, and so you can command them, and they'll move as social animals, the socialists, right? We, on the other hand, are rugged individualists, and we're deeply principled and philosophical, and it's difficult to get us to move in tandem sometimes. That's a blessing. I love that part, except when you have a one-vote margin. And so, you know, I'm working every day to get the team together to understand the stakes. I think they do. And I think we're going to get this job done, deliver for the people. And Hugh, I believe we're going to have an extraordinary election cycle in November. I think we're going to grow the House majority, make this job easier. We're going to win back the Senate. And I think Donald Trump's going back to the White House. We'll be able to turn this thing 180 degrees.
This is just, we got to get the cut. If we can just go to Olivia Beavers and get the cut. He also talks about how he's on the right side of history. He did the right thing. This is all nonsense. Okay, let's just talk about facts instead of his, oh, one-seat majority, two-seat majority. Nancy Pelosi had a one- or two-seat majority because they had a task and purpose and they had focus. You promised shutting down the border, you didn't do it. You promised stopping the massive spending, you didn't do it. Anything that you promised that was against what the donor class wanted, you didn't do. Let's just be blunt. The donor class, you go up to Columbia today, instead of the border, you go up to Columbia today to suck up to the donors. Why didn't you go to the trial yesterday for President Trump? This guy is so weak, and he sits right there and will lie to your face and gaslight you. And of course, he's on Hugh Hewitt, the host of Gaslight. You know, he's got a 5-person audience over there at Salem. Unfortunately, most of Salem's audiences are 5 people. We're at a inflection point right now. If we're going to continue to have this guy, and he gives us huge, he's got a major, massive piece in Politico. And in Politico, he says that he changed from no money to Ukraine because he got the intelligence officers came to give intelligence, and he talked to the NATO general. So who'd you talk to? People have to go to your local offices and demand. Remember, a majority of the majority voted against this. They have to demand, that he come forward and make the argument of why he flipped, why he threw away the southern. Nothing's going to happen on the southern border. Remember, these guys have been there for a year and a half right now. They'll be there for 2 years. Not one person's being stopped coming across. He funded all this. He funded DOJ. He funded all of it. He had every opportunity. Yes, there were going to be tough fights. Politico's not going to write a great piece about you. The New York Times is not going to say you're having a Churchill moment. Hugh Hewitt's not going to sit there and stroke you. Okay, that's not going to happen. People are going to say bad things about you. People are going to say, oh, you know, you're bringing the country down. You're turning the world over to Putin. You're a Putin agent. On and on and on. It doesn't matter. You have to be on the side that wants to save this republic, not what you've done. Not what you've done, which is all just performative. You put the Christian values in the biblical worldview, and you're going to quote, and you're going to look up, and there's Moses. And all. It's all performative. You have not. They're saying how great you are and you're pulling this off because you've surrendered to the Democrats. You've given Biden everything he wanted and extracted nothing. You've given Hakeem Jeffries the control of the floor. You, as a coward, have turned over to our enemies, not our opponents, our enemies, the keys to the kingdom. The founders, you're supposed to be so about the Constitution. the founders, the revolutionary generation, the founders of this nation gave you the power to stop it. They gave you the power to impose your will. And in the chat, don't sit there, well, only Biden can do it. No, he has all, no spending can happen. Why was the government not shut down? Because of the border. Why was Ukraine not zeroed out? Why did you flip? You say it's because of intelligence, and now you're using the NATO generals came in and talked to you, these brave NATO generals. What did they say? Show me the receipts. Put up out there and walk up to the line if you have to on classified and not classified and make your pitch. People, when you see this guy, you got to be in his grill. What is your pitch for Ukraine? What is your pitch for selling out MAGA and the Republican Party? The people put you there, because I got news for you. 10 or 20% of MAGA is not going to show up. Not going to show up. You think in there, McLaughlin's got all this polling, everybody's got this polling. Hey, this polling doesn't mean anything. Nothing. When I came into the campaign in 16, I don't know what the numbers down by 8, 10, 12, 14, 6. I have no idea, but he was down. And I said, the polling doesn't matter here. If you have 100 days to come and make your case, we're going to win this. And we're going to win it with over 300 electoral votes. We're in the reverse position now. A lot of people sitting there go, oh, the polling, we just got to play defense. If you get in your little corner and give the happy talk, oh, I think we're going to be the. What they want to do is hold the House and add a couple of seats, add a couple of seats in the Senate, and let the devil catch the hindmost on Trump. They have done nothing to support Trump. Nothing. Zero. And they know it behind the scenes. Paul Singer, these guys, AOA, that opportunity, whatever it is, the Alliance of Opportunity for America, some other bogus organization, a bunch of billionaires together. Yeah, they're leaking out money. You got that Nikki Haley in Pennsylvania. It's all they're doing. They don't want Trump. They think Trump's beaten in November. MAGA just goes away. And they got their party back. They got their tax cuts. They got their deregulation. They got it all. They're in high cotton. Hell, maybe even try to reinstall Mitch McConnell again. They think Mitch has still got a little juice left in him. We know he's finished. He broke his pick on Ukraine, on his version of Ukraine. If you're prepared to accept this, then you're prepared. If you're prepared to accept Mike Johnson as speaker, then you are prepared to accept the destruction of this country. Show me one thing that they have done. McCarthy gave a carte blanche to Biden to spend as much as he wants and have as big a deficit as he wants. So all this talk about 30, I don't want to hear $34 trillion crossing their lips anymore, because they will do nothing to stop it. They will not do the hard work. And here's the reason. They are cowards. They want Politico to like them. They want the New York Times to say good things about them. They want to be able to go to the cocktail parties in Georgetown. That's what they want, right? That's what McCall wants. That's what these people want. They want that. They feed on that. That's the easy way. It's not the narrow gate. Wasn't our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ the narrow gate, the tough path, the hard path? If you want to save your country, do you think the country got in this shape because those guys fought, the Republicans fought? No, they're controlled opposition. They're absolute, and they're more controlled opposition than ever before. And now, finally, you've got, let's turn to the trial. I got Mike Davis here. I tell you what, we got a cold open for Mike. Is that ready to go? Not ready to go? Yes or no? Okay, let's just bring up Mike Davis. I guess we can't get sorted. We're confused here in the war room today. Let's get Mike Davis up. Mike, Axios is saying, number one, that we've finally got the target, Matthew Colangelo. Okay, they're saying Trump's allies are making a huge deal about this. President Trump, better late than never, finally put up on Truth Social today. Hey, Republicans in D.C. got to step up to the plate. Now, this is very simple. We have a criminal conspiracy between the Justice Department, Biden's DOJ. It's been shown by the great Julie Kelly of what's coming out of, and you called this shot a couple of years ago, what's coming out of Florida with Jack Smith. We know we got Fani Willis, and now you know you got the Justice Department. And here's what Axios does. Here, Mike Allen, those guys are smart, Jim Vanderhey. What they do is they go to some hack that's worked in the Justice Department and said, yeah, well, when they're overstaffed, it's not unusual when they're overstaffed to look to DOJ for assistance. Dude, that is BS. You've got the DOJ guy who was the architect of all this actually having to be up there and give the opening argument to lay out the entire the entire thing. I tell you what, we got a cold open now. We've gotten our act together here in the war room. We've got a cold open, and let's go and play for Mike Davis.
That Biden has his fingerprints on all four of these criminal prosecutions. This is obviously lawfare. This is obviously election interference. Where the hell are the House Republicans? Why are they funding this? Why are they allowing this to happen? Why aren't they having oversight hearings? Why aren't they cutting off their appropriations? Why aren't they doing more to stop this, right? And I'll tell you this. This is backfiring spectacularly on these Democrats, thanks to the Article 3 Project doing over 3,000 media hits on this since the Mar-a-Lago raid 21 months ago, and constant opinion pieces in social media as the lonely voice out there going on shows like yours, Ben, to get out this message, right? There are going to be consequences when President Trump is back in the White House on January 20th, 2025. This is a criminal conspiracy by these Democrat prosecutors, these Democrat judges, these Democrat witnesses, these Democrat operatives. This is a criminal conspiracy to violate President Trump's civil rights, the civil rights of Walt Nauta, the civil rights of 18 co-defendants down in Georgia. And guess what, guys? There is going to be severe legal, political, and financial consequences for this. We're not going to turn the other cheek. They can go to hell.
Okay, Mike Davis, where do we stand? President, by the way, so I'm putting up on Getter right now. Jim Jordan was doing some very focused tweets on the Democrats. The Democrats do this, the Democrats do this. And finally, it hit my tripwire. I can't take any more Jim Jordan tweets. He's got to take action. Where do we stand as of this morning, Mike Davis, on our efforts to get the feckless, hapless Republicans, to actually take action here, sir?
Well, it's amazing. You played that 1 minute and 21 second clip there, Steve. And so look, what did the Biden-Harris campaign do? They took 6 seconds of that clip and said this last night. Trump's potential attorney general pick, Mike Davis, says their Project 2025 agenda will impose consequences for Americans who don't support Trump. No, we didn't say for Americans who don't support Trump. We said there will be severe legal, political, and financial consequences for this obvious criminal conspiracy by President Biden, his White House, including Jonathan Suh, his Justice Department, including Matthew Colangelo, Alvin Bragg, the Soros-funded Manhattan DA, Big Tish James, the New York Attorney General, Big Fannie Willis, the Fulton County DA, Jay Bratt, Jack Smith, these judges who have violated President Trump's civil rights. There must be a criminal probe on this obvious criminal conspiracy to violate rights, which is a very serious crime under our federal criminal laws. They are violating the rights of President Trump, his top aides like you, Steve Bannon, and Peter Navarro, who's sitting in jail right now, his lawyers, his supporters on January 6th. They have politicized and weaponized our legal system on many different fronts. President Trump is sitting in a Manhattan courtroom right now in front of this Soros-funded Manhattan DA, Alvin Bragg, this former top Biden Justice Department political appointee, Matthew Colangelo, this Democrat Manhattan judge, Juan Merchan, who donated to Biden in 2020 and another anti-Trump cause, whose adult daughter, Lauren Merchan, has raised $100 million off this unprecedented criminal trial of a former president who happens to be the leading presidential candidate. President Trump faces charges, January 6th charges.
True or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt, and that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. Done with Debt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer, and taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage Done with Debt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first, chat with a done with debt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Do it today. Take action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Okay, welcome back. Here's the thing, Mike Davis. We need to have Jordan move today. And by the way, right now we don't need to include J6. We don't need to include Navarro, myself, anything else that's going on. We need a highly focused on Jack Smith, the Justice Department, Merrick Garland, and the White House. They're scared. They wouldn't have cut the clip of you on Benny Johnson's show to try to smear you by saying something different. Axios knows what's going on. That's why today the lead story in Axios is about Trump's allies target DOJ and Biden. We've got Merrick Garland's guys right in the proverbial gun sights, and they know it. They know they got a problem. The case is so convoluted that it's beyond the intellectual ability of the Manhattan DA's office to actually argue the overall architecture of the case. That's why Matthew Colangelo had to do it. He was seconded up there to be the guy that's the architect of this. That's why he had to argue it. Now, I want to pivot. We're going to force Jordan to do that. We're already working behind the scenes. We're going to force Jordan to do that because all Jordan's given, and you can talk to the Trump team, all he's done is happy talk. He's blown off Elise Stefanik. He's blown off other people that are trying to get him to move. And all he does is go on Hannity. And this morning he sent out a despicable tweet about what the Democrats do. I don't want to hear any more from you, dude, about what Democrats. I want to know what you're doing. I want to know what Jim Jordan's doing. You're head of judiciary. You got stories today that Comer and him don't know where they're going. You haven't done the weaponization of government. You've done a terrible job on the impeachment. You haven't held the DOJ to account for anything. It's been absolutely an air ball for a year and a half for you as head of judiciary. Okay? All you've done has been a running dog for big tech because you're in big tech's back pocket. I got that. I understand that. Let's just put that aside. You must take action. And President Trump has finally, I think, had enough of it. He actually put out a Truth Social today that said that. And he shouldn't have to ask for this. He shouldn't have to point it out. We shouldn't have to do it. I shouldn't have to take valuable airtime here that we have so many other things we got to get to hound you, to hound you, to hound you. Because if you don't have a bayonet to the back of these guys, they're going to backslide on everything. You know why? Because they're gutless. He doesn't want to take, oh, all the nasty articles going to be about him and all the heat that's going to be about him and breaking down in the wrestling thing. He doesn't want to do anything. He, you know, they're going to bring up all the Ohio State things, right? He doesn't want that. So he just goes along. He just goes along. It's called controlled opposition. This is what controlled opposition. They're going to do some performative stuff. He'll go on Hannity and talk about some stuff. Right? But nothing happens. And this has got to happen. Now, that being said, they had CNN, and we'll try to get the clip later, but they had a huge argument on CNN last night. Mike, nobody can kind of figure out what actually is the case here. What are they trying to do? Why is Pecker the first guy, and he's coming back against tomorrow? What actually is the crime and what's the charge? Because it's kind of confusing here with National Enquirer and all this and catch and release and or fish and bait. What actually are they trying to argue in front of a jury in a courtroom actually is their case of what crime did President Trump actually do?
It's very confusing. And if we don't know and President Trump doesn't know and the prosecutor doesn't know, it seems like that's a serious constitutional problem. There's a serious due process problem where the defendant doesn't have fair notice what the allegations are against him a week and a half into the trial so he can defend himself. But essentially the argument is this, as best I can tell. You have back in 2016, President Trump allegedly paid off a nuisance claimer. They call it hush money to make Stormy Daniels go away. And then in 2017, it got booked into his personal, he used his personal funds to do this, his personal funds, including the Donald Trump revocable trust. And they, when they booked this in his books, his personal books in 2017, They put it as a legal expense, which I don't see what the problem with that would be. I mean, if you settle a nuisance claim, you do it through your lawyer and you put it in your books as a legal expense. I don't understand how that's a bookkeeping misdemeanor. But that's they're arguing that because they put it in his books as legal expense, this nuisance claim that Trump settled, that was a bookkeeping misdemeanor, right? And then they're saying because he did this in 2017, somehow that affected the campaign in 2016, so it's election interference. And so people thought that Alvin Bragg and Matthew Colangelo were going to try to tie that bookkeeping misdemeanor that's time barred beyond the statute of limitations, because that was 7 years ago, that they were going to tie it to another crime, maybe a campaign finance crime, maybe a tax crime. And then if you combine those two crimes under New York law, apparently it transforms into like a felony, is what their theory is, right?
Okay, but, so hang, take- but hang on. I want to go back to due process, the Fourth Amendment. When they made their opening arguments, because I'm very focused on this trial, I can't understand. And I think on CNN last night, they got into a huge fight about this. And even the most anti-Never Trump folks could not quite articulate what is why is Trump in that courtroom? What is and why did they start with the National Enquirer? They say this is election fraud. The case they're making is election fraud into the 2016 election. Is that what they're saying his crime was? Is this an election fraud crime to turn the 2016 race? Did I hear that correctly in the opening arguments and what they're arguing about? This is about election fraud?
I thought that's what it was about, election fraud, election interference, but it's not clear now after Matthew Colangelo's opening argument. I'm not clear what their theory of the case is, and so I don't know how President Trump or anyone else could be clear on that. I don't think they're clear in the prosecutor's office what the theory of the case is. Going into it, it was is that he made this nuisance payment, and it somehow this nuisance payment he paid out of his personal funds somehow benefited his campaign. He booked the funds in 2017 that benefited his campaign in 2016, and therefore it was an illegal campaign finance violation under New York law, that and it transformed into a felony because the statute of limitations has passed on the misdemeanor, and even the statute of limitations has passed on the felony, but they've extended it because of COVID. I mean, it is such a crazy convoluted theory. It's not a crime. Let's just say that it's true that Trump paid off Stormy Daniels to make her go away as a nuisance, as part of a nuisance claim or hush money. That's not a crime. It's not a crime. I was a lawyer for over a decade, and I did that many times for businesses. You have settlement agreements with non-disclosure agreements.
Hang on 1 second. We're going to take a 90-second break. We'll be right back. Jim Rickards is also going to join. Short break in the war room. I'm going to get back to this court about exactly what is President Trump charged with. Tax Network USA is pure war room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers and you don't. You'll pay up plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. You could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on. Grind you for all your back taxes, plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. And visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today. This IRS grind is only going to get much worse.
War Room at checkout to save 67%. And do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.